The time is now. It's time for a little Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. Howdy, I'm Amelia Dalton, and this episode of Fish Fry is all about MEMS, consumer electronics, and keeping up with the CESs. My first guest is Marcellino Gemelli from Bosch Sensor Tech, and we're talking about why more data does not necessarily mean more information, what vision, value, and velocity have to do with the next decade of sensor technology, and a little bit about the maker bug. Check it out.
Thank you so much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
First, my audience will probably know who you guys are and what you do, but give me a refresher. What is Bosch Sensor Tech all about?
Yeah, Bosch Sensor Tech is a wholly owned subsidiary of Bosch. Bosch is a multinational company that's present in large parts of technology. We focus on consumer and industrial MEMS, microelectrical mechanical systems. So we make sensors, accelerometers, magnetometers, gyros, pressure, temperature, humidity, and gas sensors, as well as microphones. We make 4 million sensors every day, and we target primarily smartphones, but many so-called IoT and industrial devices use our sensors today.
So your CEO, Stefan Finkbeiner, is doing a fireside chat at the MEMS Sensors Executive Congress called Vision, Value, and Velocity for the Next Decade of Sensing. So let's talk about each of those pillars. First, that vision. What's the roadmap look like for you guys in the sensors world?
Yeah, let's look at how we came about to where we are today. We are looking at a third pillar innovation cycle. First pillar was the introduction of MEMS in the automotive. That grew starting from airbag sensors and pressure, tire pressure monitors, to what we have today, between 50 to 100 MEMS sensors in every automobile. Now, the second wave was driven primarily by mobile phones, smartphones, and increasing sensor content and increasing sensor use cases that require the sensors to be available and always on, and providing new use cases from simple screen rotation, map rotation, to complex features such as the navigating to catch Pokemons using Pokemon Go. The third wave of innovation that we are seeing is distributed network of sensors that are connected either to your hub, which can be the phone, or to other systems, other hubs within your phone, within your home or car or workplace environment. Now, this is a value innovation where the sensors disappear and become unobtrusive, but at the same time measure your daily life activity and do something to improve it. And it's not necessarily just the fitness applications, which are obvious, but even somehow reduce the time or improve the air quality that you breathe by recommending to open windows, for instance, or have better gas mileage with your car by giving you training and coaching on how to better drive it.
So don't drive so fast, Amelia. Let's talk about that second pillar. Now, value, and that goes back to content. What do you think the value of the next decade of sensing will be all about?
Yes, many see sensors, since they are silicon devices, many see sensors as having to obey the Moore's law of cost and price and reduction. And that, to some extent, is true, right? We are all leveraging the benefits of mass manufacturing and scale that we have achieved with the production that we have today. That said, we need to be able to invent and sell and develop use cases based on not just the amount of data that we collect, but the amount of information that we give. More data does not necessarily mean more information. And that's where the added value is, the ability of digesting the data locally in what we are defining some sensor bots, some sensors that have the intelligence to which you can push down some algorithms and make them smarter so that they don't fire up as much data as they would do if they were just sending raw data, and provide something that we call information. So I digested bits, chunks of information that help you take actionable decisions.
And let's talk about that third pillar, velocity. Now, what exactly do you think that means in this case?
Well, consumer electronics is ruthless and brutal when it comes to velocity and the ability for us to keep up our innovation based on the expectations of consumers. As a consumer, we all want to have devices that generation after generation provide more functionality at a lower price. And velocity, as a sensor provider, as a component manufacturer, means keeping up with these expectations. If you cannot keep up, then you fall behind and you are driven out of the market very, very quickly.
All right, let's have a little off the cuff here. Now, I know you're a bit of a maker, and you said you've passed that on to one of your children. I love that. So tell me about something you've made recently, and maybe with the help of one of your kids.
Yeah, it's. I've always been interested in electronics since I was a kid. I don't know how the bug got into me, but since I was probably in third or fourth grade, I started stealing the books at the library to build electronics. Now, interestingly, one of my children is fascinated by tearing things apart, and together we have built a few kits built around Arduino. And interestingly, he likes sensing the world around him, which of course to me is like pushing an open door, going right through an open door. So yeah, we have built a small sensor network inside our garage to pick up the data coming there.
I love that. Well, it was a pleasure meeting you, Marcelino. Thank you so much for coming on Fish Fry.
Thank you.
Speaking of making, let me bring in Kevin Bromber, CEO of My Devices, to introduce the world's first LoRa IoT project builder. Let's go. Hey, Kevin, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So, Kevin, give my audience a bit of a refresher on what My Devices is all about.
Sure. My Devices was always created under the mission of simplifying the connected world, and more specifically, simplifying the creation of IoT projects and IoT solutions. So at the beginning of January of 2016, we launched a product called Cayenne, which is the world's first IoT project builder. And since that time, we've signed up over 90,000 developers who use the tool to build IoT projects. And most of these projects to date have been with Raspberry Pis and Arduinos. So they've been mostly maker, but our evolution of that tool has always been to have it be able to build full-on smart city, smart agriculture, smart metering, you know, big enterprise industrial solutions. So we're evolving the tool to allow those types of solutions to be built.
All right, Kevin, let's talk about networking, specifically low-power wide area network, or LPWAN, and the associated protocol LoRaWAN, developed by Semtech. What do you think are the benefits of this protocol versus other technologies?
We're releasing LoRa inside of Cayenne, LoRa capabilities. So meaning that those 90,000 developers can use the product to bring in LoRa-type devices to build solutions. The benefits actually of LPWAN in general is low power, wide area, and low cost, and wireless. So why does that matter? Well, when you're building a project today with something, let's say, like an Arduino or Raspberry Pi, you've got to bring power to it, and then you've got wires hanging out of it. So it really limits your ability to build a real-life world project. But with LPWAN solution, and in particular LoRa, you're able to have these sensors that are, first of all, they're wireless. They're low power, meaning that they can be powered with batteries, and those batteries will typically last anywhere from 5 to 10 years, and they work over wide areas. So if I put a simple gateway at a facility instead of a rural area, I can get a coverage of approximately a mile in radius. And if I'm out on a farm field, I can be like 15 miles line of sight. So you can imagine the applications being able to put all these different types of sensors around that don't require you to plug them in, and that they'll last from 5 to 10 years. So really the only thing that holds us back is really the cost right now of the sensor. So there's a tremendous amount of benefits.
So speaking of LoRa, you guys just launched the world's first LoRa IoT project builder. So my first question is this new LoRa IoT project builder interoperable with your Cayenne IoT project builder? And does it work the same as Cayenne?
Yes. So that is one of the key benefits of Cayenne, is device interoperability. We enable developers to drag and drop different devices from different manufacturers and they can make them talk to each other. And it's backward compatible with any other device that's ever been brought into the product. So you can mix and match Arduinos, Raspberry Pis, and then a whole group of different LoRa-type sensors that are actually in the product as of today. So from companies like Arduinus or AskQL or NKE or Elsys and any number. So we're also opening up that manufacturers can bring in their devices at no cost into Kion and make it available to the community. They can even bundle Kion with their product. But the answer is it does work exactly the same way. It's a drag and drop IoT project builder, and they get a whole bunch of benefits like asset tracking, a rules engine to be able to do triggers, they can do scheduling, and they can make these devices talk to each other.
Excellent. So if someone in my audience wants to get started using your LoRa IoT project builder, how would he or she get started?
All they have to do is go to mydevices.com and click on Kion and sign up for free. There is no cost to use the product. And as soon as you sign up, you have the ability to start a project using a LoRa device or an Arduino or a Raspberry Pi. And you can even use our MQTT API to bring in any type of device. So it's free to get going. Just go to My Devices, sign up for Kion, and away you go.
That's fantastic. All right, Kevin, it's time for your off-the-cuff question now. How's your golf game these days? Have you gone golfing anywhere cool lately?
Oh, boy. Okay, so golf game was good until I started working on my short game because I said, you know what, I'm going to start taking divots like the pros. And it hasn't been working out too well. So I had one great round with doing that, and then since then about five bad rounds. So I'll say it's more on the bad side. We're more on the downswing at this point, unfortunately.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, maybe you need some more putt-putt in your future.
I need something more to improve my game, that's for sure.
Well, awesome. I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me yet again, Kevin. It is always a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And if Google Plus is your thing, well, yes, you can join our circle on Google Plus. We also have a YouTube channel, keyword EE Journal, which is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of December 9th, 2016, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.